the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Fancy owning a fraction of a property, a stock, or a piece of art? That's where tokenization comes in. Tokenization is the process of converting real-world assets into digital tokens on blockchain networks. You can own a tiny portion of a Tesla share or a waterfront property in Miami, just as you can own the tiniest sliver of a Bitcoin. The world's largest asset manager, BlackRock, recently entered the tokenization space with its fund called BUIDL, that's spelled B-U-I-D-L, using the Ethereum blockchain. There's been a lot of hype around tokenization and NFTs or non-fungible tokens, but as with all hype trains, eventually the dust settles and what's left standing are a lot of corpses and a handful of survivors that go on to achieve greatness. Think about the dot-com bust of the early 2000s where so many companies disappeared, but those that survived, the likes of Amazon and eBay, went on to become some of the world's most valuable companies. That's probably why we should be paying attention to tokenization. BlackRock's BUIDL fund is intended to offer stability rather than speculative hype and pays out dividends in the form of tokens each month directly to investors' wallets. The fund is invested in nothing more sexy than cash, treasury bills, and repurchase agreements, and with a high entry threshold of $5 million, is not aimed at the retail investor. There are many other groups offering tokenized assets that are aimed at the retail market, and it's reckoned that tokenization could account for 10% of global GDP by 2030, something of the order of $16 trillion. The figures being thrown around are staggering and tantalizing. There are clear benefits to tokenization, such as unlocking liquidity in previously illiquid markets, such as real estate, or enabling better diversification of portfolios and in the process, attracting more people to the crypto market. Well, somebody who's been looking at this in a great amount of detail is Morris Crespi, who is managing partner at Schindler's Attorneys. And he's going to talk to us about tokenization and why this is such an exciting market, but it's one that comes with some legal challenges. Welcome, Morris. Good to talk to you again. Can you take us through some of the more interesting applications for tokenization? A lot of people got the buzz around NFTs a couple of years back, and that quickly fizzled. I mean, we saw the average price of NFTs collapsing by about 90% in the bear market. Now, with tokenization, we're talking about something quite different, right? Backed by real-world assets. So maybe you can just take us through the case for tokenization.
Yes, thanks, Kieran, and thank you to your listeners. It's very, very different to the NFT craze of about 2 years ago. What I always tell my clients is that there's an important distinction. Cryptocurrencies and the NFTs, as we saw 2 years ago, are a store of value, like a dollar bill. The value is in the dollar bill. With the crypto, the value is in the crypto. If you lose the crypto, if you lose your password, it's gone forever. When it comes to real-world asset tokenization, we're talking of a representation of value, similar to a share certificate. If you lose the share certificate, you don't lose your share in the company. It can be replaced. Similar to real-world asset tokenization, if you lose the token and you're dealing with a reputable company that can actually replace the token, despite you having lost it or having lost the password, or even if there's a hack, it can be replaced.
Okay, now there are some legal challenges in tokenizing assets in South Africa. Maybe explain to us what laws apply, and from the public's point of view, they might want to know if they're investing in a regulated asset or not. Can you explain that to us?
Sure, I think it's a very, very important question. As we all know, the crypto laws have come in. FASE and the FSCA are involved. CASPs now have to be registered, crypto asset service providers. But what's interesting when it comes to real-world asset tokenization is I would say about 10% of the laws that apply actually relate to crypto. 90% are in accordance with our financial market regulations, the Financial Markets Act, the Companies Act, the Collective Investment Schemes Act, the Financial Sector Regulations Act, and more. You can't just take, as an example, a share in a public company and tokenize that. In terms of the Financial Markets Act, you'd have to register as a stock exchange. So those laws are key. Compliance with those laws are key. And that's where the real complexity and that's where the real legal work comes in.
Right. Now, when we spoke previously, Schindler's were setting up an exchange called Schindler's X. Is there anything to report on that?
Yes, we're just super, super busy. We've got massive projects on the go. They require a lot of work. There's a lot of prep. There's a workshop after workshop with the project owners. We discuss the various structures, what SPVs to use, the tokenomics and the like. So we've got some exciting projects that are about to list involving real estate, involving solar projects, renewable energy projects, even commodities. So there's a lot on the go. We have one project up. In the next month, we anticipate to have three more projects, and then it's just going to be on a regular basis.
Just talk to us about that. Where's the interest coming from? You've talked about renewable energy. That's an interesting one from an investment point of view because you've got very regular cash flows. I imagine real estate would be interesting as well, depending on what part of the country it's in. Are these the two primary areas of interest for you, or are there other areas we should also be paying attention to?
It's mainly real estate, but it's any form of private equity. It's opening up so many opportunities. If somebody wants a relatively small raise or wants to proceed with a small raise, they can do it by way of tokenization. And I always say, at what point in time were you able to go out there and in effect participate in an IPO for a small franchise in a shopping center? You know, that never happened. And now with tokenization, it's possible. So we have a whole range of projects from real estate to renewable energy, but also private equity. We also have existing funds who are looking at tokenizing. So existing funds who require liquidity or existing debt that project owners want to replace, bank debt. They were going to come and do a raise and they want to use the tokenization for even purposes of providing liquidity, market making and the like. You know, the difference here is the project owner participates in not only the raise, but also the secondary market, the commissions that arise from the platform fees. So the project owner is effectively tied in for the lifetime of the project. And at the moment, all our projects have a minimum life of 10 years.
Okay, so that's quite interesting. Do you have to register as a stock exchange to do that under the Financial Markets Act?
No, the way we're doing it now is we are creating single asset alternative investment funds, either by way of an en commandite partnership, which is a limited partnership, or through trusts. And they're single assets. So it's very, very much in the private equity space, single asset, because it would become a portfolio in terms of the Collective Investment Schemes Act if there's more than one asset. So we're creating these single funds. And they work well. You know, in the renewable energy space, we have the 12B deduction, which is made available to investors where they get 125% deduction if they invest in renewable energy projects. What's nice about tokenization is that benefit can actually pass down to the individual token holders. They get the deduction if the structure is set up as a limited en commandite partnership. And the tax rulings to that effect by SARS.
Just explain an in commandite partnership. What is that?
So unlike a regular partnership where all the partners are personally and severally liable, there are two types of partners. One has the general partner who is liable and who manages the affairs of the partnership. Then one has the limited partners or secret partners who are not involved in the management of the company, but their risk is limited to their financial contribution in the partnership. So there's a form of limited liability in the context of the partnership. But if there's a tax benefit, such as a 12B deduction in terms of the Income Tax Act, what happens is that benefit as partners actually passes to the individual token holders or the individual partners, and they can make use of that benefit in their returns.
Right. So that's rather like the flow-through scheme that they use in exchanges like the Toronto Stock Exchange, where you're trying to raise money for junior miners. You do it by way of a flow-through scheme where the tax benefits pass to the investor, not to the company itself.
Spot on.
All right. So this is a single asset listing. In a way, I guess it is like NFTs. The big difference here is you're backed by real-world assets with provable cash flows. So presumably before you list a token, you will have a business case or a prospectus or a white paper, something like that?
Correct. It's a white paper or a prospectus. We try and follow the format as it's set out in the Companies Act. Though the project owner is not obliged to actually follow the requirements of a prospectus in terms of the Companies Act, we deem it appropriate to actually meet the threshold and standards in putting together the prospectus. What we also do then is we also do a due diligence as Schindlers to make sure that what the project owner tells us or what is set out in the white paper or prospectus is in fact true. And we also appoint per project what we refer to as an integrity officer, an attorney at Schindlers, somebody who an investor can phone just to verify and confirm that everything's above board.
Okay. Now, in the intro, I mentioned BlackRock and its Biddle Fund. It's intended to be dead boring. It's a stable token offering a predictable return. What are the advantages of offering tokens as an entry to a fund like this rather than going the conventional route? My question is, why would BlackRock, the world's largest investment fund, be going into the tokenization space, do you think?
I think it's a whole new market. The fees are negligible, depending on the exchange. I know they're using Securitize, which is a permissioned exchange, but an exchange like ours, it's permissionless, so you can actually take the asset off the exchange and you can transfer the asset MetaMask to MetaMask, which is it's unheard of. And I think it's also to improve liquidity in relation to their funds. So it's a shorter road to attain that liquidity as conventional means, and it's a lot simpler. Certainly in our regulatory environment, it's a lot simpler.
All right, let's just get back to Schindler X. What are the – talk about the logistics. For example, a company comes to you, they've made out their business case, they've got a white paper. How long does it take you to do the due diligence and list the token? And then where do you find the liquidity, the investors?
Starting with the liquidity, we're concerned about liquidity. Let's face it. This is very, very new. It's a new industry. There's yet to be social proof. So we're working with other exchanges. It's not as though you launch on Schindlers and you're stuck with Schindlers. We're working with other exchanges, well-known exchanges out there. One of the biggest exchanges in South Africa we actually met with last week. And the idea is to find the liquidity by launching not only on local exchanges, but also international exchanges. We see where the investors bite, and we can shift assets from one exchange to another. So, I mean, that's the idea at the moment. Once the social proof's there, we have absolutely no doubt that the liquidity will be there. In relation to the process, you come to Schindlers, we immediately begin with the workshop, we talk the structures, we go through the structures, and then it's the implementation. We're finding that most of the delays, in fact, it takes time, and it's generally on the project owner's side where it takes time. Once everything's set up, it's relatively simple on our side to tokenize the underlying asset. That's not a problem from a technical point of view. It's really just putting the legalities in place and ensuring that the due diligence is performed adequately. It doesn't mean if you come to Schindlers that we will list all projects. What we do is we go through the process, and only if we're satisfied that the project is investment grade do we list it and we allow for it. So we intend to be very, very strict, as with other exchanges.
So when you say you interact with other exchanges, is this like a co-listing thing, like what we would call a dual listing if you're in the London and the Joburg stock exchanges like Anglo American is? Similar kind of concept here?
Exactly the same kind of concept, and also different token standards. So you can have NFTs on one exchange, and you can have your regular tokens, ERC-20s, on another exchange. And you can have them on five exchanges. I mean, it's not as though you are married to one exchange. So we You know, we're talking OTC exchanges, Africa's biggest. We're talking cryptocurrency exchanges. You now want to go into real-world asset tokenization. Then the smaller exchanges are also interested in co-listing assets together with Schindler's.
And I would imagine if you're on multiple exchanges, you then would get arbitrage opportunities. You might have price differences between one exchange and the other. That would attract liquidity as well. People would want to buy on the cheaper one and sell on the more expensive one.
Certainly. And we're looking forward to seeing that. It's early days, but that's going to be exciting.
Now, explain why Schindler's, as a firm of attorneys, decided to go into tokenization. This is quite radical for a law firm. Why did you do this?
Well, you know, to give you an example, we have legacy departments. We have a structured finance department. Now, in the new world of law, we're talking decentralized finance. And we, you know, most of real-world asset tokenization is actually about the law. I'd say it's 99% about the law, it's not the tech. And if you look at exchanges around the world, if you look at the crypto world, these guys are getting arrested in America and abroad, in Nigeria. Why are they getting arrested? Because they don't understand the law. So we felt that considering it's really all about packaging it correctly, legally, making sure that there's compliance, we'd be well positioned to launch the exchange. Bearing in mind that, you know, similar to attorneys are not paper merchants, yet that all our contracts are on paper and we sell the contents of the paper, we decided to put an exchange together, not only for the fractionalization of assets, but we're also in a position to transfer an entire house as a token. Now, it'll take years for the deeds office to catch up, whereas we decided to provide it. Why? Because it's not out there and no one's providing the service. So we felt it would be a good marriage, being experts in law and also being able to provide the platform to list our clients' assets.
So somebody who wants to sell their house could actually approach you and ask if you can do it through your exchange. And then you're sort of bypassing the real estate business completely, or the real estate agency business. I presume the costs would be lower. That would be one of the points of attraction for somebody approaching you for that purpose.
Now, firstly, we the estate agents are very, very much involved. What we're in effect doing is we are cutting out the conveyancing attorney. I've said it for years now. You know, with tech where it is now, we regard it as unconscionable that purchasers out there of real estate are still paying, you know, tens of thousands of rands to conveyancing attorneys when the tech's there to make it as easy as I mean, you could transfer your house at the supermarket with the tech that we have. So it's not about bypassing the agents. It's about facilitating the transfers. We are doing it by way of the 99-year lease model, similar to what you find at Waterfall Estate. Those property rights are transferred in the deeds office. What we've done is we've created what we refer to as a layer 2 deeds office, where those rights are transferred by way of tokenization and the transfer of the token.
But can the transfer actually be effected or concluded when you have this backlog in the deeds office, which I think in some instances can be, what, 6 months long?
Yes, it's quite a complicated structure. But once the structure's in place, the transfer can take place immediately on one's phone, obviously subject to there being compliance, to rates being paid and all of that. So that it's a permissioned environment when it comes to the transfer. But the deeds office is left out of the picture. So the idea is to not involve the deeds office, to have the rights transfer, and the token holder at any point in time can approach the deeds office and actually have the property transferred in a traditional way should there be an anxiety or should they require it for any purpose. But otherwise, the rights are transferred in the interim as a layer 2. Similar to a layer 2 when it comes to tokenization and blockchains.
Yeah, and layer 2 being basically a layer that sits on top of the blockchain to speed up transactions, if we simplify the language there a little bit.
Correct.
Right. With actual settlement taking a little while longer. So rather like your when you do your Visa card transactions at the end of the day, these are all packaged together by the banks and they settle between each other. The actual settlement may be taking a few days rather than happening instantly. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, same idea.
All right. So where do you see – that's fascinating, by the way, the fact that you could even own a token. Somebody could sell a house and you could have multiple owners by way of tokens. It's not something that we've seen before in South Africa.
No, it's not. And, I mean, we say it in jest. It's the first time that you can go all in with your house at a poker game. If you can have your house in your MetaMask wallet. That's what we're trying to achieve. And we say it in jest because obviously there has to be compliance and that won't be possible. People have to get paid, SARS needs to be paid, transfer duty, rates, clearances, and what have you. But once that's all checked, done, and dusted, the transfer can take place instantly.
Fascinating. Where do you see some of the potential applications for tokenization in a country like South Africa?
From the sale of actual assets. So I'll give you an example. If you are a diamond merchant, you can tokenize ownership of the entire diamond. It doesn't even have to be fractionalized. And the diamond can sit in the vault and the ownership can be transferred by way of the token. Fundraising is the obvious one. The taking out of debt, the creation of debt instruments is quite big. So what we do there in many of our projects is we look at creating either debt or equity, a combination of both maybe. But the idea is, let's say we were to tokenize a bond for a project owner who needs to raise capital. That bond is then in the name of the partnership, and the token holders are the individual partners, and they trade that debt, and they get the benefits that go with the debt instrument.
At what point do you see tokenized assets becoming commonly available in South Africa, and how would people gain access to them?
There are quite a few real-world asset exchanges that have gone up. There's Mesh, there's Rainfin, there's Us, there's Libex. They're more on their way. We consult with most of them. We provide them with advice and we assist them in setting up the structures. So it's certainly moving. It's a hot industry at the moment. I think we're going to see many, many more of these exchanges in the years to come. So I give it about 3 years, 2 to 3 years, where it'll certainly be the norm. It'll be interesting to see what happens to the traditional, the likes of the stock exchange when it comes to liquidity. Will there be a massive shift in capital from traditional exchanges to real-world asset token exchanges? It'll be interesting, but it'll certainly, once there's social proof, and once there's the FOMO out there, fear of missing out, when people see that the returns are high, I think it'll hit a tipping point and it'll just start gathering pace thereafter.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say that. We've already seen the trend of delistings on the Joburg Stock Exchange. It used to be 700-800 companies. It's now down to about 300. And they're complaining about the same thing in London and New York. And in the beginning, I gave this figure out, and this is something that was researched abroad. 10% of global GDP could be tokenized by 2030, something in the order of $16 trillion. I found that a bit hard to believe, but you know, the research is fairly solid. What do you think of that? Is that possible?
I've seen those figures, and they're coming from reputable firms, consulting firms, analysts. I think it certainly is possible. I think you know the author, Steve Sidley. He's written a book, It Is Mine, and he sees this, and through his research, he believes it's the biggest shift in capital since the Industrial Revolution. So it's quite something. This could potentially be massive.
Wow, okay. We're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us, Maurice Crespi, Managing Partner at Schindler's Attorneys. And I guess people can find out more at your website, or Schindler's X. Maybe give us the website.
Yes, it's www.schindlersx.io. We have all the details there, Q&A, and yeah, there's a tab there, the listing process. There's quite a bit of literature on there that explains how we do things, you know, the methodology that we employ. And of course, they can reach out directly to me, crespi@schindlers.co.za.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, Maurice. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. Bitcoin. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.